From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcoming you to another Let the Bible Speak program. Today we return to Psalm 138, verse 6, which says, Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Our subject is the Lord's regard for the humble and his rejection of the haughty. There's a message there for us all, so stay with us. Now, throughout this month, we are making an offer of my booklet, Election and Reprobation, to those who request it. We believe that this is an important issue, one in which there is a bitter division among many Bible believers, and one which, if it's discussed at all, generally generates more heat than light. This booklet arose out of a study of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and we believe that it will not only challenge you to think biblically, but that it will actually encourage you to evangelize freely. So do make sure to get this study by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or alternatively, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That is 866-877-5827. And now, here's Steve Ludwig, who serves the Lord as a missionary in a Muslim country, and he's going to be singing for us one of my favorite hymns, Dear Savior, Thou Art Mine, How Sweet the Thought to Me.
Dear Savior, Thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat Thy name and lift my heart to Thee. Mine, 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 I know Thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know Thou art mine. Thou art the sinner's friend, so I Thy friendship claim. A sinner saved by grace, when Thy sweet message came, mine, 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 I know Thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know Thou art mine. My hardened heart was touched, Thy pardoning voice I heard, and joy and peace came in while listening to Thy word. mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine. So let me sing thy praise, so let me call thee mine. I cannot doubt thy word, I know that I am thine. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine.
The Kentucky Baptist Convention, a branch of the Southern Baptist Convention, has just had its annual meetings. There was quite a stir about the election of a new president. One of the contestants for the office gave out that he was a moderate, and that he was running because he feared that his opponent had the backing of that dreaded group called the Fundamentalists. When the vote was recorded, the man supported by the Fundamentalists was elected, and the state of Kentucky, believe it or not, is still standing. However, not everything is still standing, or at least that's how it appears to this observer. The new president was part of a group that studied the nature of the relationship of Georgetown College with the convention. The group issued a recommendation, which the convention accepted, that the college should have a self-perpetuating board of trustees. In plain terms, the trustees would no longer be convention appointees, dependent on the convention for their hold on office. Now, that's a significant step. The given reason for making the change was that Georgetown College is seeking to meet Phi Beta Kappa academic standards and to increase its endowment base from $35 million to $100 million. The unspoken reality is something else. The move to make the Board of Trustees self-perpetuating is meant to insulate the college from the threat of too much fundamentalist influence, and to allow it to exercise that glorious privilege called academic freedom, which in the case of erstwhile denominational schools is the freedom to have Bible deniers on the faculty without the risk of reprisal from the convention and its dreaded fundamentalists. Now, I'm not a Southern Baptist, so why should this concern me? That's easy to answer. I think it should be a matter of concern to all of us when schools that were raised up by Bible believers for the education of young people according to the eternal truths of the Word of God are subverted to allow them to become a stomping ground for deniers of the Christian faith. Here in our area of Greenville, South Carolina, we have a university that was a Baptist school. A few years back, it unilaterally declared itself free from the control of the Baptist Convention and made its board self-perpetuating, all on the pretext of protecting academic freedom, that is, freedom from being called on by fundamentalist Baptists, who, by the way, are not in the ascendancy in the South Carolina Baptist Convention. As I say, freedom from being called on by fundamentalist Baptists to employ only faculty who actually support the school's original reason for existing. Today, that school is far from being even remotely like a Christian school. And that such a situation should be agreed to in another school is certainly a matter of concern. Also, it concerns me when the idea is given out that a thoroughly Christian college education is somehow academically subpar. if we allow ourselves to be forced into the position of accepting that academic freedom means the freedom to deny the Bible in a Christian school, then we're in trouble. There are plenty of places of so-called higher education where the Bible's already denied, and where, by the way, there is no academic freedom to deny the prevailing views of the secularist religion on a whole variety of subjects, from biology to sociology. What is needed today is for Christians to withdraw their support of institutions, and indeed conventions, that purportedly exist to spread the faith, but that actually undermine it. There are still some schools that stand for academic integrity and for Bible truth. The two are not mutually exclusive, but rather complementary. May the Lord use their efforts to raise up a new generation of Christian leaders in church, in business, in academia, and in state. Men and women who will say with Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Turn to God's Word in Psalm 138, verse 6, continuing the message, the Lord's regard for the humble and his rejection of the haughty. Yesterday, we closed out the message with the thought of the majestic greatness of God and how it impacts our lives and service. The idea was that his greatness demands that we serve him with our whole heart and with our entire being.
The work of God demands our all. Means that you're never off duty.
Doesn't matter whether you're out at your daily employment or whatever else you're doing, you're on duty for the Lord. If the Lord is so great, then He must be the all-consuming passion of the life of a Christian. You don't bring less than your best to Him. So the psalmist says the Lord is high. But he goes on to say He hath respect unto the lowly. And this is the merciful goodness of the Lord to which He now introduces us. He hath respect unto the lowly. The words mean He regards the lowly. He looks after the lowly. He watches the lowly. He considers the lowly. That's the meaning of the verb. The lowly are those who are either low in station. Let this be an encouragement. There are so many Christians and they walk in the shadow of other people's greatness. They think, I'm not as successful as he is. I'm not as intelligent as he is. I'm not as this, I'm not as that, I'm not as the other thing. You know, this is crazy. If God hath chosen you in Christ, and if the Holy Spirit has regenerated you and He has united you to Christ, if God Almighty has justified you by faith so that He has made you a child of God, adopted that you bear the name of the King of Glory, if He has made you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, then listen, you are heaven's aristocracy. Why on earth should you ever walk in the shadow of the imagined greatness of any little pipsqueak man of the earth? Why? God says you may be lowly in station as far as the world is concerned, but He regards you. He has His eye upon you. The lowly, of course, are also those who are humble in spirit. And I think that is the chief significance of the term here. As John Gill long ago pointed out, these lowly people are the followers of the lowly Jesus. I am meek and lowly, said the Lord Jesus. These are people who are low in their own eyes. They're not full of their self-conceit. They have been humbled under a sense of their own sin. They have been convinced of the insufficiency of their own righteousness to justify them. And they have been made to submit to the righteousness of God that is in Christ. They ascribe everything concerning their salvation to the free grace of God. And they patiently wait upon the Lord, quietly bearing even His afflicting providences. These are the lowly. And we're told the Lord keeps them in His watch care. He looks after them. We were singing this morning from the 40th Psalm and we read it also. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. You remember those beautiful words of Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord regards the humble. I wonder this morning, have you ever been brought to see the greatness of God so much that you look upon yourself as a worm? Fear not thou, worm, Jacob. Have you ever seen the glory of God's greatness in such a way as to make you feel the rottenness of your own sin, the corruption of your own nature? Have you ever seen the glory of God and the holiness and the justice of God that has made you confess,
Oh God, if you were to damn this guilty soul to the deepest hell, from hell's depths, I would have to cry, Thou art righteous. Have you ever been brought to the place where, divested of every hope of self-justification, robbed of every hope of ever contributing anything to the saving of your soul, you've been cast entirely upon the free grace of God in Jesus Christ to cry to Him for sovereign mercy, to purge you from your sin and justify you freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus? Have you ever been brought to the place where you simply have to say, Lord, I take you at your word. I take you on your terms. Thou art God. Thou art my God. In thee do I trust. I don't have all the answers. I can't see the way ahead. I feel weakness and wickedness working within my flesh. And yet I cast myself entirely and absolutely upon the Lord. Has God ever brought you there? For I tell you, that's the place where the Lord regards you. That's the place where He keeps His eye upon you. When you seem most vulnerable in human terms, when you seem weakest according to the esteem of men, that's when the Lord's eye is upon you. And He regards you not only with compassion and pity, which He does, but He regards you with His protection. His eye is upon you that no ill shall overtake you. Understand this, even in the afflicting providences of God. Understand this. Ultimately, nothing bad can ever happen to a Christian. Now that seems a strange thing to say. Some Christians in the floods in the southern states have lost everything they possess. Some have gone hungry. Some have lost loved ones. They appear to be very bad things. Stop and think. The worst thing that can happen to a Christian in this world is to go straight to heaven. I don't understand what God is doing in your life, many times even in my own life. I've got to wait until He works it out. But I do know this, that all things are working together. There's not a chaos out there. All things are working together. And all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Bless God today. He regards the humble. But not only now. He will do this. I said the verb is in the future. So this is the Lord's ongoing way of dealing with things. You're going to come to die, and so am I. But the Lord says, I regard you. I'll keep my eye upon you. I'll keep you in my watch care. I'll keep you in my protection. I was just going through the 23rd Psalm this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I was interested that in the two verses prior to that, there's an emphasis on divine leading. He leadeth me in green pastures. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's life. And now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, the Lord still is leading His people, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And then there is the great eternity to come. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternity. Eternity. where will you be in God's eternity? That's the question that we must face. The Lord says, I will keep my eye upon the humble, upon that poor sinner brought to conviction and confession and calling upon Christ. I'll keep my eye upon him. Thank God there be no Christian lose his way as he travels to the gates of glory. For the eye of the Lord says, I will guide thee. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Lord regards the humble.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.